Let me tell you a fun fact. Within the last two centuries, more than 90% of the world's millionaires have been created by investing in real estate. But if done incorrectly, without the right knowledge, required skills, or partners, it can also create a ton of problems and a lot of sleepless nights. You feel like sometimes there are way too many gurus out there trying to sell you on a weekend course or just too much noise to cut right to the facts? Yup. We did too, and this is why we started this podcast. Our goal is to provide real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and enthusiasts with all of the most recent knowledge, secrets, tips, tricks, and tactics so that you can grow your own portfolios, increase your returns, net worth, and most importantly, create generational wealth for you and your loved ones. Remember, this is your real estate career. Information is your sword and shield. So eat hearty, prepare for battle, and grind your way to victory. My name is Tejas Gosai. I'm joined by my partner, Jeremy Moyer, and we welcome you to the Real Estate Investor MBA podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your favorite real estate podcast. It's Real Estate Investor MBA. I have my partner, Jeremy Moyer.
How's it going?
And I'm Tejas Gosai. We always have an awesome show for everyone. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. And we love you guys. Check out our new website, www.rei.mba. We have some great tips, tricks, and different just negotiation tactics that we're sharing with a lot of folks. So check that out. And Jeremy, let's get into our interview. Good one today.
Absolutely. So we had Joe Marquez, also known as Cowboy Joe, with us today. So, you know, the majority of Joe's 39-year work experience has been in construction, project management, real estate development, environmental remediation. You know, Joe's been involved in numerous real estate development projects across the U.S., ranging from turnkey subdivisions, multifamily, 5,000-bed crew lodges, golf front condos, resorts, commercial buildings, mixed use, and marinas. He's been involved in some unique projects in several other countries in the Caribbean, South America. All these projects have ranged in value from $1.2 million to $100 million plus. Now, his mission is developing real estate and entrepreneurs' minds to get them to know who they are and how powerful they truly are. So we just came out with a really good interview with Joe and...
Another one.
Yeah, another one. I mean, this was our second one. The first one was with land development. This was the velocity of money of how to beat inflation. Pretty technical on some items. And he really goes in depth. What do you think, Tejas?
Yeah, it's great. Everyone loves the term hedging and making sure that you're limiting your risk by using all your vehicles that are available properly. He totally does. It's like a great rubric and he looks at it differently. It makes you rethink what you're doing.
He touched base on some DeFi, which is decentralized finance tactics and terminology. So it's a good one to check out.
Definitely. Guys, cheers.
Welcome back to Real Estate Investor MBA. We are here with Joe Marquez. Joe, how you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself, Jeremy?
Good, good. So if you haven't listened to it, we had Joe on a couple weeks ago. A lot of great info. We covered the pitfalls of land development. If you haven't checked that out today, we're going to be talking about something else. But before we get into that topic, Joe, can you give our listeners a little brief overview about yourself and how you got started in real estate?
Yes, definitely. I got started, I think it was born into me because I was raised on a ranch. My granddaddy was constantly improving the land. We were either clearing for more pastures or regrading pastures into hay fields, building barns, sheds, even our houses. Built several houses on the ranch as well. And went off into government contracting for many years and transitioned back into the private sector. Land development was just a natural fit. I went pretty much straight into land development from being in the government sector for many years.
Real quick, too, before we jump into this, can you talk about projects you've done, what asset classes, kind of the big fun stuff?
Well, I've done a little bit of everything. I did a turnkey subdivision from knocking the trees down to handing over the keys for a 472-house subdivision. And that was actually a fun project because I was a co-developer on it, and the lead developer wanted the entire project done in 18 months. Everybody told him he was crazy. Well, I probably was as crazy as he was. I said, I can do it. He didn't believe me and told him, I said, well, let me build the first house while we're doing, he gave me the grading and utility work. I said, let me build the first house while I'm doing that work. I said, I can build it in 14 days. And he's like, there is no way you can build a house in 14 days. I said, well, there's no way you can build 472 houses in 18 months. He said, okay, you got a point. I built that first house in 14 days, including inspections. Of course, I had good relationships with the city inspectors and told them what I was wanting to do. And they pretty much, the minute I called them, they'd be out there to inspect. Now, that 14 days was literally 24 hours a day. We were pouring concrete at 2 o'clock in the morning a lot of time. But we'd finished the contract and then he gave me the rest of the thing. So we built 472 house subdivision from knocking the trees down, putting all the utilities in to handing the keys over in 18 months.
And you've
done
commercial.
I've done marinas and hotels, mixed use, commercial. One of my students right now, helping them with a big travel center, restaurant, and hotels.
It's awesome.
So the topic of today's show is using the velocity of money to beat inflation. You know, Joe, when we picked this topic to talk about a couple of weeks ago, I was really excited for the content, you know, that it would produce for our listeners, especially with inflation, you know, what we're experiencing right now in the economy. And, you know, we'll get into that in a second. But can you explain the concept velocity of money as one? And then why is that concept so important for people to understand?
Well, the velocity of money is simply how fast are you turning your money over? How many places are you working at one time? And how to use it to beat inflation? Most investors do not realize that they're not beating inflation. They look at a return, they're making money. However, they're running a race that the finish line is getting further and further away because they're not even beating inflation. And you have to use the velocity of money and work the money in multiple places at one time to create spreads to be able to beat inflation.
Let's keep going down that train of thought. So let's define spreads. What spreads? And then what spreads are we looking at or investors should be looking at so they can start putting these puzzle pieces together to do so?
Okay. Spreads are simply you're creating a spread between what your cost of money is and what your return on money is. You're basically copying the bank's blueprint to making money. I mean, banks take depositors and pay them interest on their money. We won't talk about the amount they pay right now. We'll get into that later. That's robbing people. But then they loan it out to other people at a different rate. And let's say it's 6% and they're paying 0.5%, that spread is 5.5%. Well, as an investor, you want to do the same thing. And a lot of people, especially beginning investors, are looking at if they have to use hard money, they're like, well, that's too much interest because they're used to hearing bank interest rates. But it's not the amount of interest you're paying. It's whether or not you can create a spread with it. I've actually borrowed money on projects at 24% because I could create a spread of 15% above that. I was at almost 40% on what my return on the money was going to be. So I don't look at what the cost of the money is. It's whether or not I can create a spread. Now, if I can get a lower interest, that's great. But it's all about the spread and making sure that you are creating a positive spread on each and everything you do versus a negative spread. That's when if you borrow the money at 24% and you're only making 16%, you're going backwards pretty fast. Spread is looking at it from a standpoint of what kind of spread can I create that's positive, that's adding money to my pocket and not looking at the actual cost of money. Sure, if you can get the lower cost, that's great, but don't let the cost of the money stop you from creating the spread.
That makes sense. Essentially, it's like a finance game when you really look at it.
Yeah, it's a hedge.
Yeah, it's a hedge. I think it's a good picture to put in kids' heads.
I mean, it's super important. I'm a multifamily guy, commercial. It's how you buy the property most of the time. And if you got to pay 5% interest, it's still worth it. You're appreciating, you're in a good market, all that fun stuff. Land, though, so speculative. Love it.
Joe, is there a way to create multiple spreads on the same asset? You know, and if so, do you have any examples of that?
Yes, we'll swap over to the DeFi on this, but you can do it on pretty much any asset that's stable. The problem is the red tape banks put in place, unless you're a very high level individual, very high net worth individual, and have personal relationships, even with personal relationships with the banks, they make it very difficult to create those multiple spreads because they don't look at just the asset. They look at your credit score, which I'm pretty meticulous about keeping mine at a certain range, but they also look at globals. So although that one project makes perfect sense, your credit score is an 800 plus, but you own 10 different other companies, they want to see what all 10 companies are doing. That's called globals. If your globals are something that they don't like, regardless of how long you've been in business and haven't had an issue, they'll just flat out say, no, we're not going to do that. Well, in the DeFi space, which is decentralized finance, that's just an acronym for decentralized finance. That is digital assets. That is removing the middleman. In the DeFi space, they have 100% certainty in the asset. They're not worried about you as a borrower because the assets that they loan on, they're okay with taking them back from you because, number one, they are liquid. And real estate may or may not be liquid, depending on what position you're in, things like that. But they are liquid. So they know with 100% certainty they can dispose of that asset quickly for more than what they've loaned you. So they don't look at your credit score. They're not worried about globals. It's strictly whether or not that asset is a performing asset. You can borrow against that asset. You can put it into other digital assets, or you can convert it into fiat money and have it wired to your bank and purchase land or finance a fix and flip or anything along those lines. That's the main thing is you're getting your money working in multiple places at one time. Because you still have that underlying asset, like Bitcoin, that over time is going to grow in value. Short term is volatile and there's a lot of noise. But year over year, so far, it's been averaging 172% return per year. And if you take any 3.5 year period of Bitcoin, you did not lose money. You made money. Now, if you bought high and sold low, then yeah, you lost money. But from a standpoint of the asset, it performed. You just did not time your purchase and sale correct. So they're not worried about that side of it. And velocity of money is when you can get it in multiple places. Like I said, you still got the Bitcoin. It's growing in value. You've borrowed money that you're paying an interest on, and you've put it in another asset that is returning. Easy example is you can borrow against your Bitcoin on certain DeFi platforms at 8% and put it in a stable coin and leave it on that exact same platform earning 20%. So you've already created a spread right there.
Double dipping.
Exactly. You've got two different spreads working at one time.
So let's dive into that deeper just in case someone needs to re-listen to it again, like myself. So you buy an asset, okay, in this example, let's just say it's Bitcoin because we're talking about DeFi or any other cryptocurrency, Ethereum or whatnot, right? You buy the asset, you have that asset. Thought process is it's going to continue growing at pace, or it could not grow, but assumption it might grow. And then you borrow against it at some rate, you pay interest on it, but you're going to take that cash and you're going to go buy something else that is creating more. So that borrowing is kind of like hard money against another asset. You create a spread. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
That's exactly it. You've got the first asset that's still making you money, and then you've got the loan that you've taken out that you can create a second spread with. And again, it's all about knowing the metrics. You want to make sure that you're not, your LTV is not high enough that you can get liquidated out. Because like I said, these people don't have a problem with taking the asset back because they know they can get rid of it for more than what they've loaned you. So it's a quick transaction. It's not like bank sending a demand notice and all. It's pretty much if the asset drops below a certain price, then you're liquidated out and they've got their money back and you don't have the asset, but you don't owe the loan either. You're basically, that's another good thing about it is unlike in a bank, you've got the loan. If the asset drops in value and they take it back, by the time they're able to dispose of it, you may still owe money and you've destroyed your credit in the process.
Do you have any other examples on the DeFi platform, like how investors can capitalize on the velocity of cash, beat inflation?
Specifically on the DeFi platform, I'd like to add one other thing into the velocity of money, and that is, you know, IUL stands for Index Universal Life. That's an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. The IUL is growing at a certain rate. You can borrow against it and then put that money into the DeFi space. Mm-hmm. And then that's your first leg. Your second leg would be your primary asset. And we talked about Bitcoin, you mentioned Ethereum, and then there's a couple others, Solana and AVAX are two more. And those are closer in on the risk curve. The risk curve is basically the closer in to the beginning of the risk curve you are, that's considered like a blue chip asset. Blue chip stocks are considered low on the risk curve. That means it's fairly low chance of it going to zero being bust. And then your first leg in that space is more lower on the risk curve. Then your next leg is further out on the risk curve, but still has a higher return. Then if you really want to carry it one step further, you can borrow against that one still because it's still an underlying valued asset. You can borrow against it, but you want to be really conservative. Then you put that into what a lot of people would say is a speculatively play. That's way out on the risk curve. And I like to use something that is called asymmetric investing when I'm doing the more speculative stuff. That's basically, you know, an area is going to grow, but you're not sure exactly which company is going to grow. So let's say you've got $5,000 to put into an area. The gaming space you know is going to explode over time, but you're not sure which company. So you basically, you got $5,000 invest, you divide it between five companies that you've done your research on, put $1,000 in each. In that space, some of those companies have a potential to 1,000x. If you put $1,000 in each versus trying to pick one and put $5,000 in, you picked the wrong one, you went broke. If you put $1,000 in each and one of them did, let's just say they only 100x'd, you made $100,000. Let's say the other four went completely broke. Using game theory, the odds of that, and you did your research right, the odds of that are pretty slim. But let's just pretend the other four went completely broke. You made $100,000 on a $5,000 investment using asymmetric investing.
It's awesome. We hardly think about some of these things. It's
No, this is great. And I think this would be an episode that you would want to go back and listen to over and over and over again, I think, just to really break down. Some of these ideas are pretty complex. As Joe's breaking, you know, going through it, I think it'd be really important just to re-listen to it. And the more that you listen, I think the more you're going to have ingrained in your head. I don't know what you think, Tejas.
Yeah, and any investor has spreads. It's like, what do you identify? Or, you know, maybe you didn't think of that creating a spread or something like that. There's doctors that I work with that are investors that didn't know that they could get doctor loans at like 0% interest, you know, and they can pay $80,000 over on a property and still make the same return as somebody in a different category. We're coming up on time, though, so we got to ask a couple more.
Do you have any other ones? That was the last technical one. I just had a fun question at the end. Joe, do you want to, anything else you think pertinent?
Just so that it gives somebody a chance to rewatch this, what did he say? Mm-hmm. That $5,000 on the very speculative play, technically, if they all went broke, you didn't lose it because that's money that all the other underlying assets have been making money on the whole time anyway. So you basically, that's in casino terms, you're playing with the house money. You're not even playing with your money. And if you do your research right, the power of asymmetric investing is huge, especially when you combine it with the velocity of money. I highly suggest that everybody that is even thinking about being an investor study both of those.
Makes you a better gambler.
I wouldn't play poker with me or show up at a blackjack table with me.
That's awesome. So, Joe, and I like to always ask a fun question at the end. You know, the question that we kind of cycle through from show to show. You know, what's your favorite way of giving back to the community?
My favorite way of giving back is helping other people empower themselves. My superpower is being able to hold space for somebody, even a lot of times when they can't see it in themselves. Holding space for somebody and helping them to empower themselves through educating them on this knowledge and getting them to the point where they can take action, they're confident in moving forward and empowering themselves. Because when you're financially independent, you can live an empowered life. You can live a life on your terms, mm-hmm. and you can impact a lot of people. If you're not financially independent, it's hard to impact anybody beyond your own space because you have to succumb to everybody else's rules and regulations and what they think you should be doing versus what you love to do.
I know you have a lot of trainings and reading materials. Can you share how somebody gets a hold of you?
Yes. The easiest way is www.cowboyjoe.me and go through the tabs. I've got services, events, things like that. I have a crypto club that I do a deep dive on all of this velocity of money and how to use the DeFi space to grow your assets. And we kind of glossed over the DeFi space and approached it strictly from an investor. But we said earlier about the banks paying depositors an interest rate, and it's like 0.05 across the nation right now is an average. Even if you do not want to be an investor, park your cash that you'd normally park in savings for reserves, park it on DeFi and earn 10 to 12% versus 0.05%. That's the biggest thing, is helping people to empower themselves through becoming financially independent through education.
Love it.
No, that's great. If they want to learn more about those clubs or meetings that you have, is that on your website, Joe?
Yes, www.cowboyjoe.me.
Perfect. No, we'll link that in the show notes.
All right. Thank you, guys. It's Real Estate Investor MBA. Check out our website, www.rei.mba. Thank you, Cowboy Joe.
Thank you. It was truly a pleasure. Enjoyed doing this, and I hope to be back on your show again. Enjoyed the connection and the interaction.
Perfect. Thank you. It's Jeremy Moyer over there, Tejas Gosai over here, Cowboy Joe in the middle. Cheers, guys.
Thanks so much.